two things that are happening in the presence of God. Two things happen every time you come to a spiritual ministry: impartation and activation. The Spirit of the Lord is here. What did I say? There are two things that happen in the presence of God in a spiritual ministry: impartation and activation. A lot of children of God within the boundaries of the spiritual church, because there's a church that is Kanwe, unfortunately, but a lot of children of God, whether you don't have a job, well, let me say, whether they don't have jobs, whether they're struggling with sickness, whether someone wants to get married but doesn't have a spouse, someone has lost someone, the devil or the enemy oppresses children of God because they lack knowledge of God. You with me? Please. The devil succeeds in oppressing children of God because most of them lack the knowledge of God. Notice I didn't say don't have God. You can have God but not know God. And so the area in which you are ignorant of God is the area in which you are oppressed. And so knowledge in the realm of the Spirit is a privilege. The more intimate you get with God, you cross barriers of knowledge. Just like in the natural, when something is top secret, you need credentials to have access to it. You with me? So when you cross certain boundaries or barriers of intimacy with God, your knowledge increases. Knowledge in the realm of the Spirit is not the accumulation of information. Knowledge in the realm of the Spirit is linked to freedom. The more you know, the freer you are. That's why the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Knowledge in the realm of the Spirit means access to freedom. Ignorance means bondage. And so, for example, if someone has access to a knowledge of healing, they are free in that area. Because should sickness come up, they know how to deal with it. You with me? But if you do not have that knowledge, unfortunately, in that area, you are ignorant. And so the enemy oppresses you in that area. Haven't you ever wondered why a man of God can call out someone prophetically, call them to the front, call someone out who has been attending fellowship every single week, and tells this person who's a born-again Christian that, "I see in your house the devil is oppressing you. I see the enemy has tried to bring certain things. I thought you were a child of God. How did the devil have the audacity to enter my house when I am a child of God?" It's because it's not just about having God. It's about knowledge. Isaiah 32, verse 15. The Bible says, "Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest." Something happens whenever you come into the presence of God. Postures, the posture that you have come with, there are transitions in the realm of the Spirit in relation to that time that you have come in the presence of God. Even though you might not feel it, you might be clueless about it, but there are transitions taking place. What this scripture is saying, that when the Spirit of the Lord is poured out from on high, there is someone who has come with a posture of wilderness, and they are transitioned to a fruitful field. You get? And the one who has come as a fruitful field is transitioned to a forest. This happens every single time you attend a ministry where the presence of God is. Most of the things in the spirit happen to children of God without announcing that they're happening. So you can receive an impartation and feel just as you are when you came. There are transitions from wilderness to fruitful field, from fruitful field to forest. Transitions happen. I had a story from Benny Hinn one time. And he said that there was a time that he was invited by a man of God to minister, okay, in that man of God's ministry. And the man who invited him told him, I'm actually inviting you because I'm sick with cancer, but my ministry does not know. So when you come, I would like you during your ministration as we worship, just walk up to me and lay hands. So Benny Hinn went to this ministry, and when he went there, he was worshiping as usual and turned and looked at this man. And the man was busy looking around, making sure that no one's going to know what it is. Wondering, when is this going to happen? Eh? You understand? I wonder if he's coming to me now. You know, he was looking around, looking at Benny Hinn, looking around. Benny Hinn said, I tried to go over to him and lay hands, and the Spirit of the Lord told me, don't touch him. And you know how God is, he doesn't explain. So when a man who hears God hears such statements, you dare not go ahead and do your own stuff. So he withheld and continued to worship. Now at a certain point, he turned and the man was lost in the presence of God. And the Lord said, now. And so he walked up to him and laid hands. And the man was healed of cancer. And he explained this, that often the posture that you have in the presence of God determines your miracle. And so it is possible, as the Bible says, for God to be limited by you. Because the principle in Scripture is your eyes must be focused on Jesus. And in that focusing of Jesus, I might never need to prophesy. I might never need to pray for healing. All those things can just happen. Bam! Many people do not know what it is that God is doing in this generation and in this time, because unfortunately many are ignorant. The work that God wants to do in this generation is so urgent. The work that God wants to do through you is so urgent that he will not ease his hand in dealing with you. There are levels of preparation you must go through, degrees and depths of sacrifice you must make. I mean, if it means you go through the fire. Because we live in a generation, sadly, where the burden of what God wants to do in this generation is on the shoulders of a few. And so we need to arise. We need to wake up. You see, because if your focus is your situation, sadly, most Christians only know God from the dimension of God who meets needs. Sadly, there are levels and barriers of intimacy. And as you cross them, the knowledge that is deposited to you, there's a point where you reach. I was explaining to someone that there are men who pursue dimensions in God. Can I explain this? I have to touch this. Eh? I've explained to a few who have met me during the weeks, eh? But I think it's relevant. I was discussing with someone, and they said this, and I agree with it. Totally, it's true. In every ministry, there are spiritual tribes. Every ministry, you hear me? There are tribes, there are categories of people. I feel I need to emphasize this. All of us have spirits with varying degrees of strength. When a spirit is weak, its capacity to hold a dimension is small. Please understand that the moment you get born again, the Bible talks about the multi-dimensional wisdom of God. It's not just the wisdom of God that is multi-dimensional. It is God. God has different sides to him. And when a person pursues a certain side of God, they become a holder of it. So that when people see them, they see that dimension. Because God reveals himself through men. You're with me? So, that's what I mean when I say holding a dimension of God. So wisdom, for example, is a dimension. Solomon had two major dimensions of God within him. Wealth and wisdom. You with me? Samson had a dimension, the spirit of might. When you pursue a dimension, the idea of God was that when men have pursued him, those who want to understand God would look at those men to see that particular dimension. So when a spirit is weak, it can only hold a small capacity, dimension. Please understand that you have the whole of God in you. I'm talking about dimensions. So, when a spirit grows strong, the Bible says the child works strong in spirit. When a spirit is strong, its capacity to hold dimensions increases. So you hold wisdom, prosperity, mention them, healing. You begin to hold as many of them as possible. When that person is a minister, for example, and they stand before you and you call that person your spiritual father or whatever, if he holds various dimensions within them, consciously or unconsciously, you align yourself to one or some of those dimensions. Which brings me back to the statement, in every spiritual ministry, there are tribes, categories, that align themselves to the dimension that is in the man of God. So, take for example, Zoe, just an example. The man of God holds within him wealth, okay? Prophecy. Let's talk about spiritual crafting. Walk through walls, walk. Okay? Character, love. Those are just examples of dimensions. The people who sit in the ministry align themselves to the dimensions within. There is dominion. So when they sit in the congregation, someone listens, and no matter the sermon, all they hear is dominion. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because they are aligned to a dimension in the man of dominion. Someone else in the same ministry hears spiritual crafting. And after the fellowship, they're saying, did you see? He prophesied Hollywood. He prophesied because they've aligned themselves to a dimension in the man to desire to spiritual craft. And so there's wealth, there's prosperity. Now what happens in ministries, generally, when people have aligned themselves to different dimensions, when someone is in dominion and they're thinking about the agenda of God, not just for them, but for the church on a national, international level, when they're thinking that, by the way, you can be aligned to more than one dimension. I just need to say that. When someone, for example, their mind is dominion, and they meet someone whose mind is spiritual crafting, they'll say, you're just there saying prophecy, 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 prophecy. Dominate. You're getting what I'm saying? The one of spiritual crafting is saying, you're talking about dominion, you can't even prophesy. The one of wealth is saying, both of you are talking, but you're broke. You get what I'm saying? Now I have to go through this very quickly. And so, the immature child looks as the other to the other as if they are wrong. Not knowing that in one man, there are various. Praise the Lord. When a spirit is strong, you have the capacity to host dimensions of God. And people begin to see those dimensions. Sometimes they see them in form of characters. That's why when they looked at Jesus, some called him Jeremiah. Some Elijah. You get what I'm saying? You've pursued something in the spirit that the character in the Bible, when people see you, that's what they remember. And so, listen to me. When a person has pursued a dimension of God in the spirit and pursued it and sought it with all their heart, various degrees of that dimension falls upon them. They grow from wisdom to wisdom, faith to faith, glory to glory. When a person has got a deep measure of a dimension, it's now called a mantle. Amen. When a person holds a mantle, it can be inherited. It can be inherited. I told you that as we speak now, as we're speaking now, two things are happening. And not just here. Whenever you attend a place where the presence of God is, there is impartation and activation. I'm going to explain those two things. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 15. The Bible says, "The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, because he knoweth not how to go to the city. The labor of the fool wearies him, for he knoweth not how to go to the city." What this scripture actually means is that anything that you want in the realm of the spirit, it's a city. And a person labors and it wearies them to get to the city because they don't know the way. They don't know how to get there. It's interesting in life. I've met people who pray all night. And you see, one day when I teach on the actual essence of prayer, you'll understand that when you pray, something happens in your spirit that not only expands it, but gives you potency. I won't go there. I'll lose track. Now, power is obtained by being in presence. The deepest realms of power obtained by being in presence. When a person prays and prays and prays, especially if they know what they're doing, actually, even if they don't, there's a degree of power that is bestowed in their spirit. But because they don't have knowledge of God, because you can pray and not have knowledge, just, "Lord, I love you. Lord, I..." And in the spirit, you're gaining power. Because you don't have knowledge, you don't know how to manifest it. And so we have a lot of powerful people walking around, but with inability to manifest. On the other hand, we have a lot of people with knowledge, but little power. And they talk, "No, you see, when you're prophesying, this is what you do." And indeed, they're right. But presence brings potency. Oh, Lord. When you know, the Bible says, "They that know their God shall be strong and do great exploits." It's linked to the knowledge of God, not having God. You can have God all you want. Be born again. The exploits are linked to the knowledge of God. The Bible says, "Thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." You need to know it. "But I'm a Christian. And God said the truth shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Knowledge is extremely important. In knowledge of God, I was explaining to someone that if someone is more educated in darkness than you are in light, they will conquer you even though light is superior to darkness. If they are more knowledgeable in darkness than you are in light. It's the reason why some Christians fall sick, why some witch doctor in some corner somewhere can send things, mess up your job, and you're wondering, "But I'm a child of God. Chi-chi." And so you need to seek someone who has gained light. There's a scripture I love. It says, in the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, it says, "By the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people that dwell in darkness have seen a great light." I love that scripture. They have seen a great light. And so, based on Ecclesiastes 10:15, the things worry you because what you want is a city, but you know not how to go to the city. Now, there are different ways in which impartation takes place. Different ways. While you're in the presence of God, things can happen to you without your knowledge, preferably with your knowledge. There are different ways. The first way in which impartation takes place is by sight. Elijah told Elisha, if you see me, go. The Bible says, as we behold him with open face, we are changed from glory to glory. When a person carries a certain dimension and you watch them, I'm not saying looking. Let me give you a story. There's a time at Zoe, one of the first times ever, that Prophet Elvis decided that he was going to interpret a dream. I remember that. And so he called out this guy, first told the guy the dream, then he interpreted it. Blew me away. But I remember I was seated in front with a certain man of God. And as people were shouting, he was seated right next to me. Kept quiet, just looked. I took note. The next time he did it, I was seated next to the very same man of God. I noticed as people were shouting, he was looking. He was seeing. And by that time, I'd already understood that there's an impartation that takes place by sight. Amen. Later, when I was with that man of God, he said, let me show you something. Oh! Radekai Maserebosh. And now carries a dimension where he can pick your dream and interpret it. Because while others were looking, he was seeing. Now, let me tell you something. Let me help you. Because someone will ask, but how do you see? When you look at someone, for example, and their dress code, and you watch them, when you copy the dress code, you don't know that on a bodily level, you are imparted. Who told you to go and put on the same clothes? You just sat in the chair alone and said, you know what, tomorrow. The reason is because I don't want to use the word flesh, but from body level, you saw body and there was an impartation at that level. But there are degrees. There's body, there is soul, and there is spirit. It's very possible for someone to grab spirit and do nothing with the clothes. And you say, but are you a son? I'm just giving an example. Oh, it's possible to grab all of them. Now, when someone looks and they're not seeing the body, for example, and they see the love, you're looking at character, soul, and you start to act the same way. You've been imparted on soulish level. Are you with me? Then there's an impartation of the spirit. What that actually means is, what you behold is what you become. So you must see more than the activity. Oh Lord. In the Bible, in Genesis, chapter 30, verse 39, and the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle, ring-struck, speckled, and spotted. The Bible says that Jacob gets animals, puts rods in front of them, and as they behold, they become. If it can happen to animals. Now let's be serious. If it can happen on an animal level, that means because animals are not thinking. You don't even need to think. He's just looking, eating grass, looking, eating grass, and the body transforms. Learn to see. Learn to see rightly. Learn to see. By seeing, you learn the anointing upon a man. I've told people that I know when my spiritual father is seeing a vision. When he's on the pulpit, I know. Because I've watched and seen. I've learned the mannerisms. I know when he's uncomfortable. I know. Because for years, I wasn't just looking at how he was dressed. But clearly, you see, there was an impartation. Some people are jealous now, man. I have a better suit, what? It's okay. Praise the Lord. Yeah. If it can happen on that level for a spiritual, and it happens across, it cuts across because it happens even for the demonic. A chap sits there. I don't want to go into this. Because you ever been in situations where you're just on your own somewhere And you just turn and someone's just looking at you. And you think it's just because you're hot. That's what you think. Huh? There are spiritual chaps out there. Guys just watching you. Watching you. And you don't even need to be in a place physically. Anyway, so the first place, the first way an impartation takes place is by sight. The second is by hearing. Ezekiel said, the Spirit entered into me. The words that we speak are spirit and life. As we speak, impartation can take place. You just need to hear, not even listen. I'm going to rush through this. Eh? So impartation can take place by hearing. The next is that impartation, the most common, can take place by contact. Paul said, I wish that I could come and impart on you some spiritual gifts. He's talking about the laying on of hands. The Bible says in the book of Numbers that God tells Moses, he says, lay your hands on Joshua, son of Nun, that I might take your honor and put it upon him, so that when he speaks, it shall be like you are the one speaking, and the people shall hear him. Hey! Lay hands so that I might remove his honor, your honor, and put upon him the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands. Contact is extremely, extremely important. Extremely important. And the posture of the person determines what has been transferred. I have to go through this quickly. There are many ways impartation can take place. The next is by association. All you need to do is be around someone who prophesies long enough. I'm telling you, and if you know what you're doing, some of us choose our friends wisely. Huh? Some people don't know. Can I tell you a secret? There are people that I call. I'll say, come and we meet. Not all people, just in case some of you. I'll call and say, this person has this thing. Ah, you first come and they see it and they talk their problems. Now you go, yeah, I'll call association. You're just thinking. Praise the Lord. There is a thing that flows, and I've emphasized it, people know, that all you need to do, association is powerful. Just be around the people. It affects body, it affects soul, affects spirit, and you don't even need to be conscious. One of the easiest ways of impartation. One of the easiest ways. Praise the Lord. Another way is by mantles. That one is a bit too heavy. But by mantles. Huh? There are ways impartations take place without man being involved. Scripture says in Numbers 11:32 that God removed the spirit that was upon Moses and put it on 70 elders. Moses is not involved in the process. And the Bible says, and they began to prophesy for a little while. And I've explained before that if you want to know how heavy Moses was, 70 elders receive a portion and they can't stop prophesying. When you meet Moses, you see him there quiet with all that power within him. And you think, we're all men of God. What are you talking about? People don't know what they're talking about. Huh? Praise the Lord. Amen. When you enter, and this year, I want you to be deliberate. Huh? When you enter the presence of the Lord, know that all you need is presence for impartation. Activation is where a man doesn't necessarily carry something. But when he touches you, he unlocks what's inside. Huh? I don't have to be a good singer. I can just say, a new voice comes to you. That is activation. Not impartation. Impartation, I give you what I have. And sometimes in the same way impartation has taken place, in the same ways, because there are many ways, but in the same ways, activation is similar. You can just be in presence and... Let me tell you something, that when men have pursued God with their hearts, And they carry something within them. They carry a dimension of God. There's a difference between healing and carrying a healing anointing. There's a difference between a business mind, being business savvy, and carrying a business anointing. There's a difference between going into some room and weaving and putting together clothes and carrying a fashion anointing. They're different. Though men who are not of the Spirit can't see the difference. There's a difference between being rich and successful and having a prosperity anointing. Because you see, and this is what many people are struggling with. They will go to a rich man's place. Let's say he's holding a conference. And the man speaks for hours on how you can be rich. You walk out with all this information. 1 year down the road, you're still the same. Because it is possible to practice an activity and perfect it, but not be a carrier of it. The difference between someone who is rich and someone with a prosperity anointing is that when the economy overturns, the one with prosperity is not affected. His wealth is not determined by the state of the economy. Huh? It is very possible for someone to carry an anointing, to be a carrier of it. That's why the Bible says you're a steward. God has given to you and said, "Pop, whoever you want to give, give." You're a steward of it. You hold it, you carry it, you pursued it in the spirit. Now, men who are pioneers of spiritual things pursue things directly from God, and it takes them years. But when you have a man who has pursued it, all you need is impartation. You need to see. See. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We need to wake up. There are too many generals fast asleep. Too many captains sitting in their chairs in a congregation. Too many leaders of this generation relaxed. So consumed by their problem. Failing to see the deeper or the bigger picture. Does that mean your problem is irrelevant? Definitely not. Because God is a God who meets needs. But after he has met the need, actually based on scripture, he met the need from the very beginning. He has given you all things pertaining to life and godliness. But it says, "Cut now that one is sorted. Let's go to bigger things." Now, for you, you're still here. I need a man. I need a man. Any man, God, any man. Not your portion. Praise the Lord. I have to wind up. I've tried to be as simple as possible. There are many people who come to me looking for mysteries. And I was explaining to someone, to partners actually, mysteries aren't learnt, they are given. The Bible says it has been given unto you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. Many things in the spirit aren't learnt. They are given. So you come here, me, I'm waiting to see something that I've never heard. And so you sit there, everything you said I knew. But you're still in the same place because the posture, you come as a wilderness, but you're being transitioned to a fruitful field. Praise the Lord. It's the secret as to why people can attend the same ministry but have different results based on the initial posture they had when they came in. It has nothing to do with actually the man of God or even the presence of God. The presence of God comes, it's there as potent to everyone. But the results are different because of the posture of wilderness or the degree of the results is different because someone else is a fruitful field. But as they posture themselves, they transition to a forest. Then people start coming and saying, "Hey, how do you do it?" "I just attend." God has actually made these things so simple for us. I told you, mysteries aren't learnt, they're given. That's why one time, when a certain man came to someone and said, "You want the secret of my wealth? Everyone." their ears, waiting for some statement. And so someone behind me said, now what is... Because mysteries are given. Praise the Lord. If you knew, I'm going to get a statement I heard from someone and I love it. If your friends in the natural are more than your friends in the spirit, you're weak. And I'm not talking about born again spirit. I'm talking about friends in the spirit. When a man says, I'm closer to Paul. We shall get there. Huh? But the Bible says we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. When you stand before God, you will have no excuse. Because that day, when you try to pray or try to listen to a sermon and you are sleeping, in the Bible, there's a precursor of a chap doing that. You understand? He's among the cloud of witnesses. Been there. Yep. I've been there, man. And you think what you're going through is brand new? You will have nothing to say before God. What if, just what if, one day you're taken to Zion and you stand before God and you discover you're the Elijah of your generation. But from the time that you were born, looking through your life, nothing Elijah-like. What if you found you're the Deborah, the Moses of your generation, and all you're focusing on is, I need a job. I need you to see what keeps me awake at night. What keeps me awake? May God activate something within you.
Amen.
May you arise.
Amen.
The Bible says, awake or sleeper. That's what the Bible says. Awake or sleeper. The Bible says in Isaiah, it says, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is now on you. Give me Isaiah 60 verse 2. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. The knowledge of God is not necessarily intellectual. Like many of you know, knowledge is an intimacy thing. Intimacy thing. There are times at night I'll just sit in a chair. It's actually called ministering to the Lord. Eh? And everyone, you see, most people, their dimension, their understanding of talking to God is, Braka Salabasya! Get behind! Lord, release me! I am free! Many people, that's the dimension, that's the understanding they have of God. But I'm telling you, that you don't have to be deep in terms of knowledge. Many men of God quote scriptures. Many Christians are busy quoting. You can quote a lot of scriptures and just have a knowledge of the Bible. You know, to some people, the Bible is God. No, but you see, the Bible says, and indeed the Bible does say. My question to you is, what is the right now word of God? The Bible says that when Paul was about to be shipwrecked, he went to the captain and told him, an angel did appear to me this very night and said this and that. He did quote the Old Testament. Is there a problem with quoting? Definitely not. But you must understand that the voice of God becomes clearer as you pursue a dimension. Pick one. There are many. Pick one. Husband is not a dimension. I just need it. Huh? A car is not a dimension. The dimension, depending on the type of car, is prosperity. Are you with me? Huh? So, pick a dimension. The men and women of God that you listen to, the Bible says, follow me as I follow Christ. When a person, if your man of God stops following Christ, you stop moving. I don't know. Because the man is your ceiling. And so there's often a sign that your man of God is still learning. The moment he comes to that place of me, I arrived, you will also stop. Let me say this quickly. If a man carries a healing dimension but doesn't carry prosperity, That man, in its, because there are various varying degrees of prosperity, that man, in terms of healing, the congregation can grab it. But they will find a ceiling when it comes to prosperity. The job of the minister is to have it. Sivanange, my people are struggling. Who can I go to for an impartation? Amen. This stuff of I'm a bigger man of God, I'm a greater man of God, people are carriers. People are carriers. My question to you is, what do you carry? The Spirit of God, eh? Fine. But what do you carry? It's a challenge to you. It's a challenge to you. At least as we go this year, because as we minister, I'm going to go deeper into how you can get to know God. How you can get to know God. Me, the things that make me jealous are when a man of God stands on a pulpit and says, I was sleeping at night, and the Lord came and said, wake up. Now, for you, alarm clock. Alarm clock. Oh, it's a thief outside, God forbid. Who's that? For once, let God wake you up. Anyway, there's an experience I had. I was telling some few people that there was a night I had a dream, and it was a while back, and something was coming for me. Yeah? So I was fighting with this thing, and I thought I had finished it. Yeah? So in the dream, I turned to walk away, and I felt a hand on my shoulder. So I jumped up. I woke up in the physical. Now, I'd slept late that day. It was around, I woke up at midday because I'd spent the night anyway. So I wake up, I'm alone in the bed. Then I realize my hand was the one tapping. My hand was here. Bad things can happen when you're fast asleep. But you should have seen me. I thought, man, oh my God, I think I've just seen a being. What? When you realize the hand is... People who long for encounters. But I encourage you. I encourage you that knowledge is extremely important in this year. Knowledge is extremely important. The house of the Spirit. Extremely, extremely important. Knowing God. Knowing God. Many things can be imparted, but no one is imparted onto a throne. There is no impartation that puts you on a throne. Process puts you on the throne. David is anointed king, has to go through process. So you shout, oh my God, they put me on a throne. There is the positional where I can say, now I've set you on a throne position. The rest is up to you, Kat, for it to manifest. Guys, me, I'm sitting, I'm on the throne. You start walking around and they say, I believe in miracles. You feel you're the one, eh? No one is imparted onto a throne. You have to go through process. And God will not release his hand in dealing with you until you become the gold that is within has come and become the manifestation that he desires. So one day when someone comes to you and says, how did you do it? Because every time you look at a person you admire, you see the seasons God has taken them through. And so when you just come and say, give me what you have, you don't. Understand what you're asking for, because a mantle is not just an anointing. A mantle is a mandate, it's process, it's assignment. You're asking for it. Praise the Lord. I urge you, dive deeper. Dive deeper. Dive deeper.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.